It's that time again. It's a Done Deal, episode 9, recorded in mid-June 2020. I'm Brian Kilby. With me this week, of course, we have the man himself, the myth, the legend, the economics, Dononomics, Nostradamics guru, Donald Ferguson. Don.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
This episode, we also have John DeLuna.
Hey, guys.
And
I'm live from my AirPods.
You sound good.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
With a Don-centric show, I think the expectation of audio quality sort of goes out the window. So,
gee, thanks.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at a way to improve the audio quality for the podcast that will work with what nature has given us as far as technology goes. And I think to do it, it's going to cost us about $140 a month. So,
That's a lot.
Yeah. We'll see. Okay. And, of course, Diecast. Diecast, congratulations on your Unicron head and Halo.
Thank you. I got a Unicron head and a car all in one day. I'm happy.
So, we determined it's Glyph. It's a blue Camaro.
Yes.
So, is that, three cars now that you have, Diecast, or...?
No, I traded in the 2020 Prius because I just didn't need something with that good of gas mileage now. And Priuses are boring, which I knew when I bought it for the gas mileage, and I just don't need that.
Well, you do realize gas will go back up eventually.
Well, no, it wasn't that the price of gas went down. It's that the miles I drive a day went down.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so, I'll be honest, I had no idea that you had the Prius, so...
Yeah, it was boring. I didn't like advertising that I had a Prius.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not a very die-cast car.
Yeah, it's not.
So we have a new segment this week. It's Applied Dononomics. Basically, what we're going to do is, as opportunity allows, we're going to have one of us on the show talk about our attempt at applying Dononomics to our real life. We're going to start off with that. We're going to go to take a look under the sheet, then move to top 10. We do not have a Nostradamus or buy, sell, hold this month. We will have those next month. Send those in, people. This is your show. Contact at tfradio.net. So, of course, also on our Discord, which is at tfradio.net/Discord. And, of course, this goes out to our patrons live each month or whenever we are able to produce it. We're going to try to do two in the month of June because we weren't able to do one in May. So we'll see how that goes. So if you have a buy, sell, hold you want to get on, please shoot us a note and we will have that on. But I want to start about things this week with my applied Dononomics, and I'm going to call it a failure. So Don, I've been talking about this on the podcast recently. I'm saving up for a guard city.
Right.
And, I sort of put all my eggs in one basket. I thought that my first round of eBay sales would get me there. And what I didn't anticipate is a couple things just didn't sell. And one person, one jerk, flaked on me because he didn't think he was going to win the auction. And then he had the gall to tell me that I should update my, description and, or my, my eBay title, of the auction, to note something. And I'm like, I completely disclosed everything. So the guy's a jerk. So
yeah,
I blocked him. I love doing that. I love blocking people from my auctions. But so my goal is to save up between $1,500 and $2,000 to put on a guard city. And when it boils down to it, I only really got up about $1,200. And I'm not going to put in my own personal funds into this. It's only going to go from eBay sales. But guess what happened in the last couple of days?
What?
$400 of pre-orders came through.
Ooh.
And Yeah.
Well,
so
at least the pre-orders are covered, so it's not like you spent all the money on the guard city and then you've got that and then the pre-orders hit.
Well, so, I more justify the pre-orders coming out of my regular bank account than I would the guard city. I can't bring myself to pay for it out of my bank account. But I can, right. I can pay for the pre-orders out of there. But I have to get up about another $1,000 in eBay auctions to do it. Yeah.
Were they pre-orders from BBTS, Pulse, Amazon?
So, well, it's a mix. So BBTS, all of that came out of my toy funds. And about $250 in Pulse pre-orders that came out of the regular bank account that I'm not counting. So,
no, I just was curious what to be looking for myself because I have
nothing.
What was it?
Nothing.
Was it Earthrise?
No, you know how they got in those weird pre-orders for like Go and stuff like that, and a couple alternative things that just you didn't expect.
Oh yeah, the one I pointed out to you, that was a lot of the older stuff that they must have had a warehouse find or something.
Disney label, yeah, stuff like that. So.
Okay, I thought maybe if the new stuff was hitting early, because I know people have already gotten Skylinks, but it's not the $49 Walmart one, so.
Yeah, so I basically today helped a friend clean out his mother's, his childhood home. His mother just passed away. In the last couple of years, she had become a hoarder, and it is additional incentive after doing this with my mom, my dad, my brother, you know, what we did with JD. You know, now this, I am further incentivized to get rid of crap. So I am going to get rid of it. I'm going to consolidate a bunch of crap into a little guard city.
That's what I need to be doing as well. But mine will be for a potential future move. So it's all, you know, I think all of us were taken aback by JD's passing and the subsequent fallout. And we've talked about that before on, you know, what happens after the fact. So it's good that you're being a lot more proactive than I am.
I'm going to have to make a lot of hard decisions about my collection, about what I want.
Yeah.
It can no longer be everything.
Yeah. Too much good stuff for it to be everything anymore.
Yep. So has anybody else got any recent applied Dynanomics they want to share? Otherwise, we can move on to everyone's favorite segment, which is take a look under the sheet.
I don't have anything. Diecast, do you have anything?
No, there's nothing that I can think of right now.
This podcast is more like one of my regular work meetings. It's like I try to run meetings and manage projects and people and everything by consensus. So what do you think? It goes back to that John's Rodimus Prime thing about Rodimus asking people what they think. This podcast runs a lot more like that.
I like to empower my people. See, I don't like to make decisions for them.
Yes.
My leadership is having my people lead themselves.
Exactly.
Very progressive.
Exactly. It's how I've always done it. So let's move to take a look under the sheet. So spoilers, this item appears in the top 10. So I did move this segment before that because I didn't want to retread. So Don, as you recall, this segment each week, basically we take a look under the sheet. One of your... Mm-hmm. prize possessions that you have under a sheet to protect it from UV radiation, which is useless, but you know, it's neither here nor there.
Right.
This week, it's one that I have. I think we can both talk about it. I don't know if anybody else has it, but it's Victory Saber. Don.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about Victory Saber.
Victory Saber is a brick.
It's a big brick.
It's a big brick. But it's so visually impressive. Even if there's not that much articulation, even for its time, Victory Saber kind of commands you just like, hey, look at me. I'm right here. Animation accuracy was not a thing back then. But man, the way Victory Leo transforms into feet in a backpack is pretty much what you see on the screen. It's probably as close to a literal transformation as you would see for that time period. It's a shame it's so expensive right now, but it is a...
What do you mean? What do you describe as expensive?
Well, again, I got it when all this stuff was dirt cheap.
I got mine less than a year ago, so I'm pretty up on the prices for these. I consider it relatively less expensive than most other toys.
I have 85 in Star Saber and 90 in Victory Leo when I bought them at the time. Again, they were the individual purchases, not the gift set. The gift set brings in a lot more money, obviously, because of its rarity. But I mean, it's one of those few G1 pieces. Like we've talked in the past about how I don't believe Road Caesar, for all of its rarity and its importance to the Japanese continuity, it's not a good looking toy. I have one. Again, I got it back in the day when it wasn't so expensive. I think I got less than $200. But it's not a toy I would go back and say, oh, I need that in my collection because it's such a iconic piece of Transformers. It is, but it's not. I don't think it's worth the money that it commands as far as a presentation piece. Victory Saber, on the other hand, is one of those toys I think if... I don't know what you paid, Brian. I'm not going to ask. I'll just tell you. Okay, go ahead.
I paid less than $650 for the set.
Okay. Unless you want the gift set, because the gift set is a visually massive, just beautiful piece of G1
artwork. I am thinking about buying a gift set that right now just to have it. I just shared the link with you.
Okay.
I think it's a bargain considering the price on it.
Well, how much is it? I'm trying not to have any more windows for my bandwidth and everything. How much is it showing?
It's missing two missiles, which I have. It's $585.
For the gift set?
For the gift set.
That's an if I didn't already have the two, I would probably try to pick that up. Because, again, the Victory Saber gift set is very hard to find. And it's just, if those characters mean a lot to you, or the G1 box art means a lot to you, it is an extremely visually dynamic piece. Well worth, I think, the money with what they bring nowadays versus your Landcross, your Road Caesar. Mm-hmm. Like, I could have, like, the Dino King, Captured Prey had that one, the box Dino King set that Captured Prey had at that one show that mm-hmm. was 24?
Yeah.
Was it 2400, I think?
I don't think this toy commands the same aftermarket price, because I don't think that people are excited that much about the quote-unquote characters, because there's not much there. I don't think Victory Saber, other than visually, excites people, but it's a gorgeous piece.
Exactly.
In my 20s, I only was really aware of the small part of Star Saber, and I had the knockoff of that. And really, even though I knew what Star Saber looked like, it took me a few years. I was like 25 or 26 before I saw one in person. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that looks really nice. I should probably get that. You know, I didn't actually get Star Saber until mid last year, and I got Victory Leo late last year. But when I combined them and had them in my home for the first time ever, it is an imposing piece.
Yes, and even the individual boxes themselves are some great representations of G1 box art, with the grid work that Japan was doing during that time period and everything. So even if you don't get the box set, the individual boxes are still very nice. And Star Saber does have two variations of the box. One is rarer than the other. One was the first run box, and they switched to a different box style later on. But Victory Leo, Victory Star Saber, and the set, those are, I think, pieces that are pretty much worth the money nowadays. From a purely, if you don't have them and you like the figures, you know, I would say try to get them. I mean, like I said, that because I was at BotCon and many years ago, and my friend Brad that worked with Orison at Chosen Prime had purchased the Diatlas gift set. With Diatlas, Sonic Bomber, and Roadfire, the big powered gift set.
I'm thinking about buying that one right now.
Oh, yeah. And it was, again, it's one of those, just look it up online if you've never seen one. It's just, that's when a gift set was a gift set. It was big. It was bold. It was impressive. And that's probably the only thing I can think of visually that would be more dynamic as a set than the Victory Saber set would be the big powered set. But, if anyone's thinking about getting them, you know, check your auctions and everything. But if the toys are in good shape, even without boxes, it's a very impressive piece.
Dang it. Donnie may have sold me on that.
Well, I mean, you could probably get the gift set. And then if you didn't want to keep the Star Saber and the Victory Leo that's in it, or take the better of the two to mix and match, you still have your gift set. The better of the two, and you could recoup some of the money.
You're right.
From the ones you don't want, and someone could get a good chance to get a Star Saber and a Victory Leo that would otherwise not have a chance to get one.
Cool. I mean, I don't know what to talk about for the next episode. I think I'm going to have to pick a different toy. Maybe you guys pick the toy that Don needs to talk about next week or next month. I think the ones that have interested me the most we've covered at this point. But that's good, Don. Thank you.
No problem.
Let's move to the top 10. We posed this to our listeners Each month we post a question to Twitter and compile the results and present them to Don, and Don gives us his gut reaction to each one. This month, the top 10 is top 10 Holy Grails. These are toys that our listeners considered Holy Grails. So I find it interesting. So, John, go ahead and take it away.
Sure. Boy, it is interesting. So we'll start with number 10 and then go down to one. And then, like Brian said, this is kind of all over the place. Interesting. So number 10, Don, is Black Zarek.
Yeah. Black Zarek is one of those Holy Grails you both want and don't want to get. Because if you got one, there wouldn't probably be a whole lot of Holy Grails left in your collection to get. And two, would you ever really truly want to open it and even barely mess with it due to the GPS? It's been joked for years that, you know, it's Schrodinger's Transformer. You know, if you don't open the box, it's fine. If you open the box, it's dust. I think that you would have to be a in-box collector to, I mean, again, the toy would be extremely delicate to actually display as a toy. If you want just a representation of Black Zarek, the Pandanus, that third party variation I have, is a really good representation of the character, and you can find it easily between $200 and $300 now, which is a lot less than a Black Zarek. But I think someone buying a Black Zarek wants it for not the toy, but more like the importance of the toy, which is fine. We've all bought that toy that it fills a niche in your collection. Even if you never take it out of the box, it's something that you need in your collection for it to internally feel complete.
So, Don, I'm looking at a Black Zarek that recently sold complete in box. It's one I would like to take not out of the box, but I guess take the styrofoam out and look at it.
Yeah.
And hope that my observation of it doesn't cause it to crumble.
Exactly.
But it is a very nice, beautiful Transformer. I really regret not owning it.
I mean, I really hope they would have done an encore for Black Zarek by now. I don't know whether the Fortress Maximus not doing as well as they thought, or if Godfire Convoy's issues made them not look at those rare G1 pieces, but I keep hoping they will eventually do an encore Black Zarek. We may get Titan's Return Scorponok, well, not Titan's Return, Earthrise Scorponok, as a Black Zarek, since the full tilt tank does become a spear, which becomes his spear. So here's hoping, but I would rather see an encore from the original mold just with the better technology. So that way everybody could have one if they wanted one without playing, you know, Schrodinger's Transformer.
Number 9, and presumably this is the first Beast Wars set they did, the BotCon Beast Wars set with the
That is a nice set. The Optimus from Crumple Zone looks very, very well, especially with that new head. Rat Trap from the Ransack Motorcycle mold. Tigatron and Cheetor from that Cybertron mode, Clocker Cybertron mode. The only downside is the hoist mold for Dinobot having the GPS, more of a brown plastic syndrome. You would have to make sure that was intact when you got it. Just like Black Zarek, it's going to have issues. But I can see of all the BotCon sets, that would be a really nice set to have. There's not a bad figure in the bunch as far as matching character to vehicle.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I was foolish and sold that set. Anyway, whatever. Number 8, Fortress Maximus.
I mean, you've got to have Fortress Maximus in your collection, whether it's an original or an encore. It's just up until the new Fortress Maximus, it was the biggest toy ever made for the line. And it has a charm that none of the Titans right now have even come close to matching. There's just something about that big I think a lot of people say when they hold a masterpiece now, when you get a masterpiece, holding it in your hands now is what holding the original toy when you were younger felt like. Like, if you know, if you're holding MP44 or MP10, that's kind of what having a G1 Optimus felt like. This big, massive, chunky, awesome robot. There's some parallels there. But Fortress Maximus is definitely just a phenomenal piece. It has presence. It's very durable. For the most part, there's not a lot of easily lost pieces. So, yeah, it's a shame the Encore didn't do better, which might have led to a Grand Max, because we know that was in the works, because that's the Pretender shell that the BotCon Megatron is using, is the Grand Maximus Pretender shell. So, but yeah, if anyone can look for a Holy Grail as a Fortress Maximus, that's an awesome decision to get one.
Hey, Don, if I just have the reissue, should I go for the G1? Because that's not my case.
No, I don't think so. But just because hopefully the new one with the new technology won't have the plastic that will fade over time. Like, both my Grand Max and my Fortress Maximus have basically, they've not been in the sun and they've age faded. But again, these toys weren't thought to the last 35 years or so. But unless you're just a G1 collector and you collect for just that aesthetic, but if you want an actual figure to display and a representation of Fortress Maximus, the Encore will be fine.
Okay.
I don't see any reason why not.
Number 7, Grandus.
Well, this is something for me that has always been a problem with a lot of that Battlestars, Return of Convoy, that last gasp of G1 in Japan. The toy is not worth the money, like Road Caesar and Land Claws, for a toy other than if you're trying to complete that line. The toy is way too expensive, I feel, for what you get from the toy, not counting its historical place in the series. My best friend, he and I were at a BotCon. He bought a loose complete Grandus.
Oh, I didn't know Diecast had Grandus.
No, a friend. Oh, you know, a friend.
Hey, that's not nice, Don.
I'm sorry, Diecast. I've known him for almost 30 years, and he bought a Grandus. It was missing like one antenna. And he found someone that was selling the repo antennas for fairly cheap. So that was that. And the same show, I bought Dagbase. And Dagbase is a slight remold, retool of that toy for the Brave series, Brave Command Dagwon, which is infinitely cheaper. Even nowadays, the price has gone up. But it's sort of like Prime Swerve versus Prime Breakdown. It's the same mold, but Prime Swerve doesn't go for near what Breakdown does. So it's very similar to that. But I think, again, just like I said for Black Zarek, if it completes a part of your collection and you find a good price, that's a hell of a grail. I don't begrudge anybody getting that for that purpose. But if you want it to sit on the shelf and be awesome, it's not going to really do that.
So number 6 is the first one that's unexpected, probably to most of us. It is Metal's Ravage.
Oh no, I can definitely see that, because Metal's Ravage is the only real interpretation we got of Ravage from Beast Wars that was, you know, that accurate. And I can definitely see that being a grail, because no one would have thought at the time it would be, Beast Wars would be that heavy a part of the continuity. You know, that's when Agenda was first starting. We were getting hints of all the stuff that was going on. So at that point, it was just like, hey, it's fan service. It's like, you know, we got Ravage back. We got the classic transformation. He still becomes a cassette somehow. So yeah, this is cool. But we never thought that
agenda would lead into what it led into and how important Beast Wars would be as part of the continuity. So, yeah, I can see people wanting that. A good alternative, well, maybe not a good alternative, but an alternative would be BotCon Tigertron, which is that mold to the one that came out with RC. Great, you know, Dan did a great work on the artwork. The box is beautiful. Both the boxes for RC and Tigertron are worth having just the empty boxes if you did that for the artwork. But yeah, I can see that being a major grail. At least there's a Tigertron option, but I know those don't come up often either.
It costs way more than the metals version, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, I haven't looked in a long time.
$500 so seems to be the going price right now.
Oh wow.
Huh.
Well, between $350, I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, I can see that as being an easy grail for somebody, just because of the importance Ravage did play with kicking off what happened in Agenda.
Okay, next, number 5, Overlord.
Okay, Overlord is an impressive piece. He is definitely another one of those late Japanese G1s that's definitely worth getting if you can find a good price. It's one of those that's also overpriced a lot of the times, but a lot of that is because of the prominence Overlord has gotten in the past, say, 8 or 9 years with IDW and even Hasbro bringing the character back into its offerings with Titans Return. But at least with Overlord, there are some very good third-party versions. They're reissuing one of them. There's a reissue coming out for the one that is not the IDW version. There's the IDW version, Carnifex, if you like that version. Overlord is, again, it's definitely Holy Grail. Again, it's one of those that you probably need to wait and see condition versus price on, because he does have a lot of pieces that can get gone. So there's that.
Okay, next, Don, I'm sure you'll have a lot to say on this one. It's the Black Deco DVD version of Fire Convoy.
Yes. I'll be honest, you know me, I'm biased. Fire Convoy is my favorite Optimus Prime. That's not a masterpiece. Again, being fair across the board, because you really can't compare a mainline versus a masterpiece. They're different levels. I got super, super lucky when I bought my Dark Fire Convoy. It was an eBay coupon popped up for 10% off. And the very next day, someone listed a Black Fire Convoy new in the box for $700.
I didn't know you had it, Don.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was going to ask you, and then I fully expected you to say no, but unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought I had mentioned that on the show. Yeah, several years ago, an eBay coupon for 10% off anything, one-time use, popped up. And the very next day, someone put up a... someone in the family had to have surgery, and they put that up for sale and had a buy it now of $700. And I had a coupon for 10% off, and it was new in the box. It had been displayed, like, you know, it was taken out of the box and displayed, just, but it wasn't played with. And basically I got Dark Fire Convoy for $630 and free shipping.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Again, that's probably my biggest, no pun intended, luckiest break, because of all the lucky draws, he's the easiest, and you can't see him, but I'm air quoting the easiest one that pops up more often than all the gold ones or the chrome ones or the purple lions and all that kind
of
stuff.
There's like 20 of them, Don, in existence.
No. I think the Black Fire Convoy, I think the production numbers was somewhere in the high 300s or low 400s.
Oh, okay.
It was more made of that one than any other lucky draw up to that point, but it's still a very low production run. The downside is they only made 10 Dark Ultra Magnuses to match it. 10. So doing Dark Godfire Convoy is something I'm probably never going to do. But I will say this, Banana Force that recently released that third-party Red Optimus Prime called Sharpshooter. That turned out to be a very solid toy. Very good-looking toy. Does not transform. And I know the whole Transformers that don't transform. With Action Masters originally, yeah, that was a little too radical for the time. But I think a lot of people have gotten more used to having a better robot representation of the character versus it actually transforming. This is why we're seeing the flame toy stuff do so well, or the model kits, because that's a more definitive representation than what some people are looking for versus something that sacrifices the look of the robot to gain a transformation. Like the Tarn that transforms versus the flame toy Tarn that doesn't. Both are Tarn and both look great, but there's two different levels at play there. So the black version is being solicited right now for $160. That would be a very excellent, I think, substitution. If you want a black fire convoy, dark fire convoy, I think that would be a good substitution on your shelf for the presence that that figure brings.
Okay, number three, you guys have talked a lot about it, so I don't know if there's any more to add, but number three is Victory Saber.
Yeah, pretty much what we said earlier is it's definitely worth getting, definitely worth the money that it asks for now, depending on the condition, just for the sheer presence of the figure and also its importance in the Japanese series.
Okay, speaking of Japanese series, number two is Battle Gaia.
If I was doing what you're doing, Brian, for money, it'd be Battle Gaia that I would be wanting instead of Guard City.
Well, Gaia goes for about twice what Guard City does.
Right. But see, Combaticons has always been my favorite combiner group, more than Devastator, more than Defensor, more than anyone that's been done, except maybe Lyokaiser. But Bruticus is my favorite American combiner. And I would probably go for Battle Gaia just to be a Bruticus completionist, even knowing the price that it tends to run.
Battle Gaia, the last set, the last legit set on eBay, sold for $4,000.
Yeah, it's sort of like that when I mentioned that Dino King set. If I was walking along and I found a wallet with no name, no number, no way to identify it, and it was $4,000 in there, just magically found a wallet with no way to return it to anybody, I couldn't make myself pay for that. Even though it would technically be free because it's money that I just found, I couldn't make myself pay $4,000 because it's not enough toy to represent the money.
Yeah, that's why he didn't pull the trigger this past week on Garden City. And that's
unless you were like a Combaticon completionist, or you were trying to complete the series he's from, and that was like the last piece you needed for it to all make sense. And then you would say, I'm done collecting. I've got what I want. Then, yeah, I would say go for it. But that's why I keep hoping for some encores of these. An encore Bruticus. They've tweaked that Bruticus set, the Combaticon, so many times, it's probably still viable for at least once or twice more. But yeah, if anyone goes for that as a Holy Grail, the best of luck. I hope you find one.
A knockoff, an obvious knockoff. It wasn't like one of those knockoffs that is a counterfeit.
It was somewhere between Easter basket set and decent knockoff.
Yeah, it's a deep, but the quality wise, the toy is a decent, a great knockoff, but the box mimics the G1 box, but isn't sold this week, past week, for $610.
Yeah.
Knockoff sold. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, again, I really wish they would do encores of these late G1 Japanese and English Transformers, but they're just not doing it. And that's the only way I think I'm going to ever get a Battle Gaia would be an encore reissue.
I'm really sad they haven't done Generation Selects Combiner Wars versions of some of these just for fun. Because clearly,
we would have seen
a cult following for these.
Yeah. Things. I figure we would have seen those at some point as an exclusive somewhere if there were any plans for it. But again, with the G2 versions maybe not doing that well and some of them showing up in Marshalls and Ross and places like that, that may have killed any of the plans for that. We don't know.
Yeah, but I mean like exclusive Japanese box set or something, you know, Unite Warriors or something.
Yeah, anyway. like Grand Galvatron was, yeah. Or Megatronia, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, we got that, but we didn't get Battle Gaia. I don't know. It seems kind of weird. Number one, Don, drum roll, it is MP10. MP10.
Optimus, yep. Round 2.
Round 2.
Optimus, yes.
I'll be honest. If you can get it for a good price, get it. It's so many people's definitive Optimus, even after 44 came out. But there are also so many good third-party Optimus now as well that, you know, some take a more IDW approach, but it's still like MP10. Some are extreme cartoon, some are extreme toy. So you've got a lot more choice now in what you want MP10 to look like versus when MP10 came out. But that is a extraordinarily well-done toy. You can get the Japanese version. You can go after the American version. At least you've got more choices to try to find an official one. But you've also got a lot more third-party choices depending on how your aesthetics go. But, yeah, I can see that being a lot of – because how many people do y'all know that didn't get MP44 and is keeping MP10 as their Optimus on the shelf? I know a lot of people that did not. And they said even if MP44 was more affordable, it didn't look like the Optimus they wanted on their shelf.
Yeah.
I'm sure lots of people did that. I think maybe I don't want to speak for those people, but I don't know. MP44 being a gajillion dollars,
it didn't
have
help.
To be like a huge deal to some people.
Absolutely. That's what kept me from getting it. I mean, I would have loved to experience that mold and to have a newer version of Optimus Prime, but the price was just like, I don't know, it just hurts me. Knowing that, you know, MP10 was 150, you know, and MP44 is 450.
I think if they, again, we've talked about this before on the show, if they had just done the core robot with some of the accessories and then maybe release the trailer separately or do a crowdfunding for just the trailer and some other accessories to see if it would sell, but make sure everybody got the MP44 robot and the base accessories, they might would have sold more. But again, it's water under the bridge at this point.
Awesome. So questions from our Patreon and Discord. Jacob Owen Lucia. How does Super Mario get on the internet? He uses a web Bowser.
See what you started, Brian? See what you've done? That. Yeah. I didn't say it was bad. I'm just saying. See what Brian has done.
Okay, I'll go next. Neschalk, your favorite Godzilla is wrong.
Okay, there's plenty of Godzillas to pick from. Just because I like Hanna-Barbera Godzilla the best doesn't mean it's wrong. It's just my choice. Still want a monster arch of him though.
Gaming Fix with two X's. Don, where have you got the best deals? And share one with us. Share one deal, man.
Okay, geez. Well, I'm going to go back to one of my best deals ever that we covered on the show about 2 years ago. Thanks to a lot of Dononomics, a lot of sales, and a very lucky coupon code hitting one of the end.
Wait. Can I guess?
Well, you don't have to guess. I'm going to tell you.
I know. It's. Let me guess. MP711.
Yes. MP711 Optimus. I had sold a bunch of stuff just to get rid of some stuff. And what I was going to buy wound up not being a very good quality, which I won't say what it was, but it turned out to be a piece of crap. And I thought, okay, I've sold all this stuff. There's nothing else I'm really looking for. And hello, what is this? Because I had forgotten about it there for the longest time that it was even out there because prices were so expensive. And I thought, okay, this is an MP711 Optimus in the U.S., for $350 plus $25 shipping. That's better than what I had seen before. And then the next day, another coupon code hit. Plus, I had my eBay bucks from all those sales. So between the eBay bucks, the discount code, and everything else after getting all the stars to align, I got Masterpiece 7-Eleven Masterpiece Optimus Prime for about 150 shipped. And that's probably one of my best deals. But a lot of that was a lot of hard work selling and a little bit of dumb luck on the coupon codes. But yeah, that was probably one of my best bargains I've ever gotten.
Well, congratulations, Don. That is awesome. I'm pricing one right now.
Yeah.
That's MP10, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Which was good that I got it so cheap because I kind of overpaid for Ecto Optimus. So between the two MP10s, it kind of balances out a little bit.
So I'll jump to the next. This is the first question from Jared. I'll pass on after the next one. This is a sequel to a prior Money on the Table question. Mm-hmm. What specific series do you want to see given focus in a new toy line / sub-series?
Well, I want the next stage of Earthrise to be movie post-movie, but I want them to incorporate European G1 Transformers, because some of them look futuristic enough you could make them a post movie thing and work them into the Earth, whatever is after Earthrise, not just your another Hot Rod, another Ultra Magnus, what we've been getting now, like Megatron Tank, Optimus. If they're going to go in this route and we jump to post movie and beyond, I want them to incorporate this European G1 stuff. And maybe some of the Japanese G1 stuff that could be worked into it. Get us away from this 84, 85, 86. I mean, Siege Optimus was nice. We all liked Siege Optimus. Then we turn around less than a year and a few months later, boom, we get Earthrise Optimus. We get Megatron. We get G2 Megatron. We get cel-shaded Megatron. We get Netflix Megatron. And then the next Megatron for Earthrise is practically 95% the same toy. We've got to get away from this 84, 85, 86. We've got to get something new in here. Otherwise, we're going to be given the same batch of characters, slightly tweaked modes, and we're drowning in G1, and we need to step away from it.
Next question. Are there any crossovers you'd like to see happen with new different IPs, retro anime, TV shows, comics, movies, etc.? Would you prefer sequels, revisits of prior crossover ideas with a different angle, G.I. Joe or the other Hasbro, Takara Tomy Saban brands, MLP?
Well, wow, that's a pretty big question. Many years ago, I had designed, and this is the first time I've mentioned this before. Many years ago, I had scrawled out on paper a treatment for Magic Master Transformers. They were the G1 cast, but they crashed on Prismos, the world from Visionaries. And they wound up getting the powers of the Visionaries, but they had like animal modes. And they were the G1 characters, but with the animal modes of the Visionaries' totems. So Optimus Prime turned into a lion, but he had like a hologram on his chest that was like the hologram of his robot mode. And in robot mode, they could use the same magical staffs. Like, for example, if Optimus Prime turned into a lion, he was mimicking Leoric. Leoric's power staff was of wisdom. That makes sense for Prime. You could have, Jazz be the cheetah, and his staff was speed, because that was called Witterquick. So, I created this thing in my own paper where they had beast forms long before they had done Beast Wars. But the beast modes mimicked the animal totems of the Visionaries. Plus, they had the staffs they could use in robot mode as weapons in addition to, like, their guns and stuff. So there was that. Alpha Trion would have been like Merklin. He would have wound up becoming, like, taking over for Merklin and being like, he couldn't be an Autobot anymore. He had to balance out the magic between good and bad. Otherwise the planet would tear itself apart. So something like that.
My Little Pony is obvious because of the fan base involved with both groups. Between you could do Battle Unicorn and Mach Kick and get some interesting toys out of those. Mach Kick is not the best figure, but I mean, you know, there's that. Mask and Transformers makes the most sense. You know, give them robot modes that look like, you know, give them vehicle modes that are the mass vehicles. Have their part, you know, they can be a headmaster, they can be a power master kind of thing. Maybe adopt the brain master concept for a release where, let's say, Optimus Prime turns into Rhino, and you've got Bruce Sato as the pilot of Rhino. I know Alex, the other guy worked with Rhino too, but I'd say just pick Bruce Sato because his mask is a bit cooler. And then you could use the Brainmaster gimmick where it's not that he's piloting Optimus, but it's more like he's sort of a symbiotic relationship. Like, not quite a headmaster, but, you know, something a little more than just a human alliance kind of partner, something like that. And that's what I like to see, you know. If, say, Hasbro and Mattel could work out something, maybe, you know, they could do like a whole new line. I know a lot of people, they're not my favorite, but the GoBots, the G2 GoBots, maybe work with Mattel and doing a joint line as a crossover between the two companies. Maybe have a few Cybertron themed play sets, you know, things like that.
All right. Last question from Jared.
Jared, yeah.
Yeah. Are there any unusual/underutilized alternate modes in Transformers that you'd like to see for more Transformers characters or toys in the future? I'm sure Hasbro and Takara could use some more alt modes from off the beaten path and do well.
Yes, ships. I've always felt that on planets that are like all water, the Autobots have what? Broadside, Sea Spray, Top Spin, and anybody with a pair of skis. That's about it. This is something else I've never told anybody. Many years ago, I was playing on a G1 theme mush, which stands for multi-user shared hallucination. It was a text-based environment role play, like you would Dungeons and Dragons, just on the computer. And I created a group of Autobot ships, a naval flotilla, that were the counterparts to the Seacons, because there was no good Autobot alternative to fight the Seacons. And since the Seacons are like underwater menaces, this was a kind of like a U-boat destroyer kind of concept. There was battle wagon, flat top, tow line, crash dive, and a fifth one. I can't remember the fifth name right now, but they all had naval alt modes: a battleship, a aircraft carrier, a destroyer, a submarine, and the one I can't remember the name for was like a Coast Guard cruiser or a tugboat, who was basically like their supply officer and stuff. And they combined into a gestalt called Ocean Master, who was the opposite of Piranacon. So, I would like to see a lot more ships. Autobot trains would be cool. Again, I think, and I've said this before in relation to Power Rangers, because trains are not such a familiar concept to kids nowadays, I'm thinking if we had some more trains, not just Astro Train, but, you know, something along those lines, that could capture some kids' imagination and be something different. You know, maybe there's some more spaceship designs. Going back to the crossover question, Star Trek and Transformers. We saw how well the comic worked. Fortress Tiberius. Why not some Star Trek Transformers? You know, you'd have the Enterprise and the Defiant and the Enterprise C and a Klingon cruiser and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, more spaceships, not just Cosmos, Omega Supreme, and Skylinks.
From Gray Fox in our Discord today. Don's prediction, are we getting individual releases of the Earthrise Coneheads or a multi-pack?
I think what we're going to see is, if we do get them in Earthrise, what we're going to see is the same thing we're seeing with the Seekers. We're going to get one of them released as a single in box, and the other two will be someone else's exclusives. It seems like they wouldn't do it just for the first set of Seekers and not do it for the second. But I actually think we're not going to see Thrust, Sturge, and Ramjet until late Earthrise, early whatever's next, kind of like Siege Astrotrain, because with him being like that one that's in both right back to back. So probably I'm thinking they'll do Thrust as the single item because he's very unique and he would stand out in a box. And I think Dirge and Ramjet being very similar to each other in build and design, it'd be an easier exclusive to do running that mold, since they do share very similar silhouettes and parts, than if you had Thrust in there, because it seemed to me it would be not as advantageous having two distinct different molds running to make the set.
Okay, cool. And this one is a simple yes or no. Do you anticipate a re-release of Combiner Wars Devastator in the upcoming Studio Series 86 line?
I can't see why not, because it seems like that would be like an easy reissue with some color tweaks. So I believe yes, but tentatively.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So Don, why don't you take us away with leaving money on the table?
Okay. This month, who do I think is leaving money on the table? Everybody but Hasbro and Takara. Why? There are no other transforming robot lines out there. There's no real great challenger in the U.S. against Transformers. Now, there's no movies going on right now. The cartoon presence has just ended. Now would be the time for another company to look at some of the robot lines that are existing in other countries, and if financially feasible, bringing them over to the U.S. in order to have a competing product. Now, I'm not saying that to ditch Transformers. I'm just saying now seems like it would be the best time to get your foot in the door with another transforming robot line, not only to have a competing product, but also to get people interested in your line that are Transformers collectors, but are maybe getting a little bit of this G1 fatigue. Because I'm sure other companies have noticed, if they have any kind of online monitoring, checking out boards, checking out Twitter, Facebook, they've got to see what people are saying about their competitors' products. I don't know how they would do it, but it seems like it's free market research. You got to sit down and type in something and read some stuff. So at least they could get a snapshot of what people are thinking about their competitors' products. And if they're seeing a fatigue with this G1, 84, 85, 86, and they've got something that they can work with a partner overseas to bring over at a comparable price point, that could probably draw some attention, because Hasbro is not doing Power Rangers like Bandai did. We don't have the Zords. Well, we have them, but kind of yes, kind of no. So there's really no Zords coming out from Power Rangers to pull people either from Transformers or add that to their collecting habits. So these other companies need to look at these lines that are either already in existence or maybe older lines they shelved years ago and see if they could come back out. For example, if Hasbro had not done Machine Robo Rescue on that One Universe toy, Bandai could have imported Machine Robo Rescue, which was a GoBot's spiritual successor, over to the U.S. So now there may be time in which that has passed. It's an older line, but it's simpler. It could probably be budgeted out well, and it might would be able to get the younger fans, with them being simpler transformations, bring the matching cartoon over, do a solid dub on it. You would have some competing product on the shelf. It could be a hit, because people have done worse jobs with products and still made a presence, even if it wasn't that felt that long. So a good product, a good dub on the television, there could be something there for collectors and for kids if they're willing to take that chance. And that's who I think is leaving money on the table, and that's a Don deal.
It's a Don Deal is a Radio Free Cybertron podcast production.